shipping in the industry.
Hundreds of thousands of protests in Iran happening right now, waiting to hear from the Supreme Leader. If we get anything on that as it happens, of course, we are live and we'll let you hear some of that. PETA upset at Obama, our president, for swatting and killing a fly. My, oh, my. Sorry, I think people have too much time on their hands. And in the meantime, this was shocking. I happened to hear this as it was unfolding, but a sad story. This Continental Airlines Flight 61 from Belgium headed to Newark, just about 2 hours outside of Newark before the flight was, you know, going to touch down, and that was it, and happy landing. And unfortunately, a pilot, the pilot, has a heart attack and dies, so the co-pilot has to take over and land the Boeing 777. And there were 247 passengers on that flight, of course, all safe. That's the good news. But what a scary, scary moment. I would say mid-air terror for some. But, of course, you had a very secure co-pilot there. Who better to talk with right from the get-go than international commercial pilot DJ Frost. DJ, thanks for joining us here on America Tonight.
Good evening, Kate. How are you?
You know, this is interesting, but I mean, sad. It's terrible that this happened. But the first thing I thought of, and Matt Johnson, also our technical guru here on the show, said to me before we jumped in the air, geez, what happened? All of a sudden you're there, you're flying, that happens. What do? You just take over the controls? Do you, the poor captain, do you just slide him out? What do? In that situation, or you just keep going along in your seat? It's got to be a strange, surreal feeling.
Oh, I'm sure. And I just wanted to be everybody to have a clear understanding that all pilots in on a flight of more than 8 hours, all three pilots are essentially captain qualified. One is designated as the captain for each flight. However, we all receive the same training. We're all able to sit in either seat. So I think that's a distinction that a lot of people don't understand, and I want everybody to rest assured that every pilot is, in fact, captain qualified to be in charge of that airplane.
Yeah. What's the procedure? What do? When a pilot, even they don't necessarily have to die, but they get ill during that kind of a long flight?
Well, sure. Then they had another relief officer, another fully qualified pilot. In fact, I know the experience of the two pilots was 22 years and 11 years with the airline at that point, so they were very experienced. I'm sure they alerted the flight attendants, who probably gave them oxygen when they were calling for the doctor at that point also. And then they must have just brought him out, probably gave him CPR at that point, and pretty much the flight then just went as scheduled. Everything, from what I heard, they just went ahead and gave a priority assistance as far as clearing air traffic to hurry up to their destination airport. So it's an emergency in the fact that the stress level got very high at that point, yet it's not such an emergency that the plane was ever out of any kind of normal control.
Yeah, so back to what I said when we initially came on, do you take the captain out of the cockpit in that situation? What do?
Sure, with a big cockpit, they probably had some room there to lie him down on the floor mm-hmm. of the cockpit and then go ahead and give him the medical treatment that was necessary. And then the other relief pilot went ahead and got in his seat, I'm sure. And at that point, either pilot could land the airplane. And what people need to understand also is that we take turns flying. Like, what, the captain will fly one flight, then the first officer will fly the next flight. So everybody is very proficient in their duties as far as flying the aircraft at all times.
Yeah. You've flown so much and all over the place. Has that ever happened to you, somebody getting ill or sadly dying?
I've had passengers pass away, unfortunately, on a flight, and that was actually a domestic flight over the United States, and then we simply landed. Or, excuse me, when we're in flight, though, we could call MedLink and get an actual medical doctor with a direct line also to help us deal with a medical emergency. So there's a couple of things that we can do. Now, if one of the pilots gets ill, and that has happened on some cases also, then one of the other pilots could take his spot and everything would just go as smooth as can be. Sure.
Yeah, you mentioned the of course, telling the flight attendants what was happening. Do the flight attendants, this is, I've flown a ton, DJ, but that's never happened with me. Somebody passed out one time and somebody tried to start a fight, but never anybody dying or having a heart attack or anything. What do the flight attendants tell the passengers, anything, or they don't tell them anything?
Well, at that point, I think it was just important to keep the stress down. And I understand a lot of people are very stressed with all that's going on in aviation. And I actually have some tips to help people with flying stress at flystressfree.com. And I think they did the best thing in not alarming the passengers, because everything was going normally in the cockpit. There was no, as far as the control of the aircraft, there was no question about how everything was going to turn out okay. So I think they went ahead with their duties. No sense in starting a panic. No sense in getting everybody all stressed out and upset as far as the normalcy of the flight continuing.
Yeah. Last time we had you on the show, it was for that Air France disaster,
yes,
sadly. And then we talked to you right from the get-go when it had happened, and the plane was just missing. And what you said about the electrical system, I thought it was great, your analogy. Imagine if you're driving in a car and suddenly you lose the power steering, and it sounds like that's exactly what happened, eh?
It's starting to sound more and more like that, and also, they might have not had those speed indicators. And then I like to even say, if you don't have those speed indicators, knowing how fast you're going, kind of like going down a dark street at night, not knowing if you're going 60 miles an hour or 70 miles an hour. And if they did a certain flight control movement very abruptly, that's what it's starting to point out, even that then they might have lost the power, as far as the power to the rudder might have caused that thing to separate at that high airspeed. And that's,
yeah,
unfortunately,
and
what it's starting to look like.
And they're trying to find those black boxes, because then they're worried that the ping is going to go away, and they're frantically trying to do that, try to get to them as fast as they can. If they get to them, will that reveal a lot of information that they need to know that will pull this whole thing together and wrap it up?
Oh, I believe it will. It definitely has a lot of parameters inside those black boxes that go to those flight controls. And it'll also give the airspeed and altitude readings throughout the entire course of the flight. So I'm very confident once they do find those and also listen to the conversations that they'll definitely have a clearer picture of what exactly happened.
All right, so people can go to your website, flystressfree.com. Give us a couple of quick tips, because you're right. People are a little more panicked, I think, about flying with all these things that are happening.
Oh, sure. And one of them is just make sure when you're traveling to really get on the airplane and visually see where those exits are, because every airplane is different. There's so many models and makes of airplanes, and the emergency exits are at different locations, and normally we sit at different places within the plane. So I think that's one of the most important tips to give somebody, is when you get on the airplane, look around, just get a visual indication, and just get a feel how far away from you that emergency exit is. So just in case the lights go out and it just gets really dark, and you have a real good feeling of how close and how many steps you have to take to that exit.
Yeah, great advice. All right, DJ Frost, thanks so much. As always, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. We appreciate all
you're
the knowledge
welcome.
You impart to us.
Anytime,
thanks.
Anytime.
Coming up next, for something completely different, hey, you know, we're heading into the weekend, and I still have this new puppy. I'm learning amazing things about dogs. How a dog can change your life. We're going to talk to Dawn Kearns about that. She's written a book about a dog who changed her life. A book, by the way, that helps to raise money for the Humane Society. Hang with us, everyone.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to NuRev. NuRev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. NuRev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades, and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of NuRev for free. Just pay to have NuRev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at NewRevOnline.com. That's NUREVOnline.com. NewRevOnline.com. Improve your life today.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Love and Marriage. Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
Welcome to Love and Marriage Radio. I'm Mae Chambers, the mom.
And I'm Erica Chambers, the daughter.
On our show, we talk about real things that all of us do to either make or break our relationship.
So when a guy calls me high maintenance, he's not talking about my car.
Join the fun on Love and Marriage Radio.
They doing all right.
Now playing on WebTalkRadio.net.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Mahalo now in the background. Oh, I hear it all day long. I'll tell you, I've learned so much about dogs in the past 3 months. In the 3 years I've been doing this show, remember we had so many shows where I talked about dogs and trying to find the right dog and all that sort of stuff. And I found one, and of course it's a golden retriever. Golden retriever named Mahalo, who is now 5 months old, and lots of exciting different changes. It's been a blast, and it is a life changer. Everybody told me that, and it really is a life changer. It means now that I go to bed at 3:30, 4 o'clock, I get up at 7:30 for those walks. Joining us now on the show, Dawn Cairns. She's the author of Maggie, the dog who changed my life, kind of like the whole Marley thing. And I think, as I said, dogs do change your life, and obviously you think that as well, right, Dawn?
Oh, they so do. And first, I want to congratulate you on your golden. That is wonderful.
Oh, he's a really good dog. It's just he goes through he's like a baby. He's going through all these changes. And because I did not grow up in a dog family, since my brother was allergic, I had to learn everything, and everybody, and this is the great thing, and people listening to me know what I'm talking about, and Dawn, you certainly do. Everybody has a different piece of advice to give you, and it's all different. Whatever it is, whether it's housebreaking, whether it's walking, whether it's giving treats or any of that kind of stuff, but that makes it kind of fun. It's definitely a conversation piece for sure, having Mahalo.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure you've already found what joy he brings into your life and how he brings you into the present moment.
Yeah. Can losing your dog, is it as painful as losing a family member? Because now I'm saying how much I'm enjoying this animal and making the commitment. But I know people in my life have felt like they've been devastated. So I guess that's a pretty obvious question. But is it as painful as losing a human being?
Well, I think that's very subjective and different for different people, and also depending on the relationship with the animal. But when you're deeply involved with your dog, as most of us are, I say yes. I've lost both. I've lost my parents and I've lost Maggie, obviously. They were very different griefs, but I was devastated when Maggie died. And actually one of the reasons that I wrote my book was to share with people. It was like, if I can get through this, anybody can get through this. I cried every day for 6 months.
Mm.
And I wanted to give people hope, you know, that there is another side no matter how badly you feel.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Hey, we should say, too, with your book, and I love this, a big chunk of it, you give it to animal shelters and to raise awareness of the inhumane conditions, too, as well, obviously, in puppy mills. Boy, there's nothing more infuriating than seeing this, some of those stories about puppy mills. I can barely talk about it on the air. I get so enraged.
Oh, you and me both, Kate. And I do give a portion of the proceeds to humane societies and rescue groups. And I've donated books, certainly. And one place that I particularly do give to is I've committed to donate 10% of my publisher royalties to Mainline Animal Rescue, which is a group that rescues puppies from puppy mills and really, really raises awareness of the conditions.
Yeah. So some of the things that we talk about with dogs, and this is a good one. This is a good one for me. Is dog food what you're supposed to be feeding your dog? And as you say, is that what you want to feed your best friend? Because I'll be honest, I'm doing carrots, I'm doing other things, and people are giving me so much grief about it.
Oh, I love it that you are. I'm not going to give you grief about that. The dog food question is an interesting one, and I want to make a distinction between commercial dog foods and the dog foods that are, you know, that you can find in more holistically oriented stores that have more whole foods in them. I woke up to this with Maggie when she was 8 years old and became sick, and I started to look into it, and I was appalled at what I discovered. And you and I could probably spend a whole show talking about pet food, but what I'd love to have people realize is that dogs are primarily carnivores. And if you look at some of the ingredients, the first ingredients, and I'm not going to mention brands, but very well-respected brands, vet-recommended brands, the first ingredient is corn sometimes. And
right.
I'm thinking of one brand in particular, and corn is a filler. It's not, you know, it's the reject of what we don't use. And it's not very digestible for dogs. It's cheap. And if you look at some of the brands that are highly recommended, the first ingredient is corn. The second is meat byproducts. And a lot of people, most people think when they're giving their dog meat byproducts that they're giving them meat. When in fact, what they're giving them are, they are giving them some meat, which comes in the form of organs, which is not bad, but what they're also giving are like bones and blood, fatty tissue, stomach and intestines, and maybe even, you know, feet. And so if the animal is, you know, if you go back when dogs were in the wild, they would eat these portions of the animals that they killed, but they were also getting a large amount of the muscle meat, which is what they need, and that's there is no muscle meat in animal byproducts. So what people want to look for is like chicken meal, for example. Chicken meal is the meat with the water removed, not meat meal, which could be, again, a conglomeration of anything.
Right.
But, yeah, so...
Chicken meal. Okay. That's great advice. Hey, I've often wondered this because I wonder this when I see Mahalo. Mahalo, like right now, I'm in a studio office, and I know that he's probably outside listening. That's like the new thing. He lays down outside of the door to listen. And so I wonder if he realizes it's sort of like a routine. Are dogs capable of sensing what we're thinking and what we're doing?
Well, I'm going to give you my response, and I want to have this conversation with you, you know, over the next couple years. And I want you to tell me what you think, you know, because experience is the best teacher. I have to tell you, I went into my relationship with Maggie with no thought, you know, and I was raised that dogs were dogs. I had no concept of expectation that she would understand what I said, let alone what I thought. And what I began to notice with her in the very early days was, you know, just she would understand words initially, and words that I didn't necessarily train her to understand. I'd say move and she'd move. I'd say excuse me and she'd move. I'd say back up and she'd back up. And I think, well, that's odd. I didn't train her these words. And then I get into more elaborate explanations about staying out of the flower beds and not going into the street. And, you know, and I noticed that she listened. And the amazing thing for me was, so realizing that there were times that I would think something. For example, here, this is the best example with Maggie, and I hope I have a moment to share another example with someone else. When I wore my work clothes, Maggie had a totally different response, a very disappointed, ignore me response than when I put on my stay-at-home clothes. Well, clearly she could smell the difference. She knew, recognized the difference. But when I would have my work clothes on and I'd be in the bathroom putting on my makeup and I'd think, you know, I don't have that many patients today. Maybe I can take her with me. No sooner had I, you know, finished that thought that Maggie was up and at the door, her tail wagging, and she's looking at me with this expectant look, and I would think, how on earth do you know what I'm thinking? And she would follow me to the door. If I was incongruent, she'd follow me to the door and until I took her with me. Totally different response than I normally got in my work clothes.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. I'm already starting to see those things, so absolutely we have to stay in touch and share these stories. All right, so if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, how do they do that?
They can go to my website, www.dawnkarens.com, K-A-I-R-N-S. They can get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, walk into a Barnes & Noble and order it.
The usual suspects, and as far as books are concerned. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, and let's keep in touch and talk more about dogs down the road.
All right, Kate, you enjoy Mahalo.
I will. Thank you, Dawn.
Thanks for having me on.
How about that, the idea that the dog senses things? I think that's true. Guys, you know what we're talking about. I mean, how I see tons of men driving around in trucks or in their cars, and they have the dog right next to them, just sitting there looking out the window, and it's almost like an appendage or a child or whatever. And, boy, I can start to see that transformation happening with my golden retriever. Hey, so much to get to, including what's happening in Iran, also stateside, obviously. We go around the globe and closer to home next on America Tonight.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Are you concerned for the safety of your loved ones? Listen closely to this message from pepperspray.com. Every 22 seconds a violent crime is committed. America has changed, and your personal safety is your first priority. Be smart. Be safe. Trust Pepper Spray instead of your luck. Pepperspray.com is the only website you'll ever need for all of your non-lethal self-defense supplies. Pepperspray.com carries one of the largest assortments of pepper spray and personal safety products on the web. From big to small, we have it all. Pepper spray, mace, animal repellents, stun guns, and tasers. Pepperspray.com also carries a large assortment of products for personal, home, child, and pet safety. Enter SAFE in the coupon box and you'll receive a special discount off of your order. So what are you waiting for? Go to Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com or call 1-800-908-9988 today.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worried how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from? You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope. Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim. Be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
About your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
We are surrounded by harmful indoor air that can easily deliver many harmful toxins straight into our bodies. Take a deep breath. Can you actually feel the airborne influenza, viruses, mold, bacteria, and dangerous ozone entering your lungs? Have a glass of water. Can you taste the harmful chlorine, fluoride, lead, pharmaceutical drugs, and numerous other chemicals? Of course you can't. The air that you breathe and the water you drink should help maintain good health, not take away from it. AirandAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these toxins. AirandAqua.com carries whole house air and water purification systems, air conditioners, shower head filters, water testing kits, atmospheric water generators, humidifiers, dehumidifiers, and much more. To learn more and see the products that will change the way you look at our air and water, please visit airandaqua.com. That's airandaqua.com. Purify your life today.
Hawaii, but that's not why we're playing the Hawaii 5-0 theme song. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. No, North Korea planning to fire missiles at Hawaii, or a long-range missile at Hawaii on Independence Day. And yes, we know that this long-range missile really can't reach the main island, but the U.S. isn't taking this lying down. Here's the follow-up to the chat last night when I went off on the whole Kim Jong-il thing. So what the U.S. military is doing is they're tracking a ship from North Korea that's carrying weapons, or they believe is carrying weapons, right? It's the first boat or ship that's actually been monitored under the Get Tough United Nations rules, yeah, right, that is supposed to punish the communist government filing that ridiculous nuke test, what now, a month ago. But Defense Secretary Robert Gates has ordered additional protection for Hawaii just in case he's not taking any chances. He knows that Kim Jong-il is nut, he's ill, his kid might take over, or one of his two kids. So no matter what, of where it can reach and what can happen, they're taking precautions, our government, just in case, if they decide to lob that long-range puppy missile over the Pacific Ocean. So the ship could become a test case, let's say, for interception of the North's ships at sea. Now, that's something that the North said it would consider an act of war. So forget the whole, could it hit Hawaii, this long-range missile, where does it end up? Oh, we're sending some ships to intercept just in case. Something could happen before that if the North decides to turn it into a little pirate war and come back at the ship that intercepts it, should, you know, that happen, because it looks like it's happening right now. Because in tracking this ship, if they have those weapons, this one's being monitored, so that's what's going to happen. And let's see if something breaks out. I mean, I think it could happen. Because here's the deal. The ship, and they don't know what's on. Of course, they don't know what's on the ship, but the Kang Nam is the name of the ship. But the ship has been involved in the past in weapons proliferation, and that's the idea. And it's one of a bunch of them that they're watching regularly, but it's the only one that has cargo that they think could violate this UN resolution. So then it's decision time, right? And the decision is intercept full speed ahead. So this is a game that's being played out right now, very far away from where all of us are right now in the United States, but close enough that should something happen, North Korea says, it's on, baby. It's war. Now, the Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen, didn't give a lot of specifics about the whole ship monitoring deal and all that sort of stuff, because they had a big old news conference at the Pentagon. Here's that thing with the information, right? So, of course, they talked about that if a vessel like that is what they call queried, and it doesn't allow, the ship's captain doesn't allow a search, then they can direct it to port. That's what would happen because of this resolution. So they think it's got illicit weapons. They intercept it. They ask for permission to come aboard. They ask for the search. They get denied, or whether they don't get denied or whatever, they can direct it toward a port according to a UN Security Council resolution. That's what the United States ship could do. Now, North Korea doesn't give a crap about what the UN resolution is, obviously. So I think something could happen here. I mean, this is, like I said, this is game on now. And for some reason, this was all getting shoved under the carpet. I don't understand why. And a lot of people weren't really talking about it. But I think this is the next thing to happen. And that's why Gates isn't taking any chances with the whole Hawaii long-range missile thing, because, yes, theoretically, it's not enough to reach Hawaii, but there's no taking a chance with this dictatorship and what they're threatening to do anyway. So they're on notice. They're being tracked. Speaking of being tracked and being on notice, boy, things have really turned in Iran. Guarantee Ahmadinejad didn't expect it to blow up the way it's blown up since that election. Remember, over 60% of the votes, he continues to hold the power, or the so-called power, as the man in charge. However, Mousavi, the reformer, has a lot of fans, apparently, because in the official day of mourning, which is what they're calling it, as I explained in the last show, I mean, just picture this, close your eyes, and think of the biggest damn protest you can ever imagine descending on Washington. We're talking hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, and they're waiting to hear what the Supreme Leader is going to say, because now there's no choice. The Ayatollah Ali Khamenei has to have a speech, has to do it before Friday prayers. I guess it's sort of like a weather vane, an indication of whether he's going to back Ahmadinejad, the president, in the standoff following last week's election, because that hasn't happened yet. Nothing's really been said. So you have Mousavi, who last night at a gathering in central Tehran. Now, this is the sixth day, so now we're into the seventh day after this June 12th election. You know, he talked about being peaceful and all that other sort of stuff. Now, the prayers will start at 1 p.m. in Tehran. So what happens here is you'll have the militia there, they call it the voluntary militia. They've got ties to the Revolutionary Guards, all that sort of stuff. And let's see what the Supreme Leader says. Here's what I think is going to happen. Because you have now 15 people dead in these protests over the re-election, 7 in the university dormitories in Tehran, and Shiraz, of course, the capital, south of the capital. You've got another 8 dead, and that's just what we know. Because let's face it, there's been this sort of media, not sort of, there's been this this media blackout. So you've got protest, you've got accusations of vote rigging, you have the world looking in on this, you've got the largest demonstration since the revolution, since the Islamic revolution booted the Shah in 1979. This is serious stuff. Could there be a big switch here? Ahmadinejad might not really get the high sign, even though he thought he had it. All right, quickly, closer to home, because I said we would go stateside, right? This is just crazy. The stuff with Barack Obama, PETA coming out and saying that they wished he hadn't swatted the fly. In the interview, he's doing an interview with CNBC, and during the interview, there was a fly around. So he decided to, I mean, obviously he was buzzing around. He swatted the fly, killed the fly. And here's what's happened. With PETA saying that, and they're serious about this, they're sending him some kind of a fly catcher thing that doesn't kill the flies. And PETA spokesperson says that they support compassion. Do we hear any flies in the studio? We support compassion for even the most curious, smallest, and least sympathetic animals. I don't know. Is a fly an animal? I don't get it. So PETA sent Obama, or is sending him, they call it a ketchup bug humane bug catcher. That's a mouthful, isn't it? And it's something that allows the people that use it to trap a housefly and then release it outside. Does anybody listening to me have one of these fly catchers? So he swats it on TV, and it became, you know, it became great joke material for the comedians, but you know, late night comedians and stuff. I saw something, in fact, before we went on the air with Conan O'Brien, where they showed a little clip of it, and they had a long tongue, a cartoon tongue come out of Obama's mouth and grab the fly. So anyway, with this PETA stuff, is crazy. What's the game on the PETA stuff, Matt? We got some flies flying around there?
What was that?
Oh, no. No, I thought we had some flies in the studio.
Oh,
I'm just going to say, I'm going to go get it.
Some flies.
Please don't kill it. I don't need any heat from PETA. I get enough angry emails. Do not kill that fly.
Uh-oh.
Let's let everybody hear that audio of Obama and how that sounded in case they missed it during the fly situation.
The signature characteristic of sorry, I'm going to start over. I'm going to start at I Will Contrast. Hey, get out of here.
That's the most persistent fly I've ever seen. Nice.
Now, where were we?
Right there.
Right there. You want to film that? There it is.
I'll tell you, like I said, that was what it sounded like. And he just said, get out of here, as you could tell. And he didn't wait for the fly to settle down. He put his hand up and smacked it dead. And then he moved on. And you heard what the interviewer said. So in the meantime, as PETA makes this ridiculous announcement, sorry, PETA, they then said they were pleased with his voting record in the Senate, the short time he was in the Senate as a junior senator, on behalf of animal rights, and said that, you know, look, this guy's been outspoken against animal abuses, but still they don't like the idea that he swatted the fly. Man, there's so much going on, and all this ruckus over the fly is just more nonsense, more of the same. Like I said, it's funny, but the fact that PETA comes out and they're so serious about it, you know, whatever. Almost the blunder of the day. Coming up next, California has 5 weeks until they're dead broke. What's the latest? We'll go to Arnold. Hang with us.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting, chewable, containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today.
1-800-210-1922.
With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet.
1-800-210-1922.
Or go to orderchoose.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today. How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with 2 cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
The rain that is plaguing so many states coming up around the bend. You know, when it's weather, you can't ignore it. How often do I say, boy, that is such a common denominator anymore. Easy, easy opening for any guy trying to pick up a chick. There's your opening. Wow, how about this weather? I think it works. I don't know. And then if you're in an elevator, people always talk about the weather. And could the Weather Channel be any bigger? Get on a plane. Sit on some kind of public transportation and you see the USA Today section, and what is everybody looking at besides the sports section? They're looking at the weather on the back page that lists every state, and they're looking to see what it's supposed to be. But rain has been brutal in the east so much so it's gunking up the US Open. So anyway, that's coming up in just a few minutes here on America Tonight. Hey everybody, Kate Delaney, as always, captaining this ship. We're steering it all over the place. Coming up later, those movie reviews. There's actually a good chick flick that's coming out with Sandy Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. It's called The Proposal, so we'll dive into that and a couple of others as well. But speaking of diving, man, California, could it be any worse? 5 weeks, they say they are out of money. That's it. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, pretty upset. He wanted state employees to take a cut, to take more of a cut. They've already had a 10% cut, but he wanted more of a cut, did not want to raise taxes. Now, in Sacramento, the state folks, the legislature there, that's what they want to do. They want to jack up the taxes because something has to give, because how are they going to pay for this? And the answer is the government, the feds, are not going to bail out California. So it's belly up time. I mean, seriously.
Here's what Schwarzenegger had to say earlier today.
Just 4 months ago, we had the biggest tax increase in the history of California of $12 billion. Now they want to come back to you again and raise your taxes once again. And so I say to them, I say, I would not sign a budget that has tax increases in that budget.
Yeah, he's not going to sign it. He's saying, no way. So I think there's going to be a little more of a hardball situation. But if there's no money, that means a lot of things are going to start to get shut down. And it's not, I mean, we're not, it's not just a casual reference like, oh, geez, yeah, they're whining again. And can't they just jack up this or do this? And that's the idea. That's what Schwarzenegger is saying, because he's not going to have that on his hands when he tries to be reelected if he decides to do that. You know, there's all these people that want to run for governor, including Meg Whitman, who was the woman, if you don't recognize her name, behind eBay. So Schwarzenegger, I think, wants to run again, and he knows that that is death to raise taxes. And as he said, they just had jacked up the rates. So you have these steep budget cuts going on. And one of the things that is being proposed is that, depending on the situation with the families, at least in L.A. it is, their idea to save millions of dollars is tell people to raise their own kids. So by that, they mean if you're an unemployed parent, instead of just trying to get these jobs, these little jobs here and there, just cut to the chase and stay home. So if you're getting assistance, you have to go to job training and look for work, right? But while they're doing it, they're eligible for subsidized child care, which costs the state about, they say, $500 a month per child. So now they're telling you, well, forget that, stay at home and still get the benefits, especially if your kid is under one. And then if you have one child and then you've got another one, so you've got two kids under six, that's the other idea, stay home. And because the monthly job training thing and the child care, it just doesn't work out anyway. And in L.A., you have 8,000, at least on the books anyway, you got 8,000 households, they believe, with one child under six. So they get that CalWORKS subsidized child care. So if you added that all up, then that would save money. And see, here's the thing. The governor, Schwarzenegger, is threatening to just completely eliminate it, because if you eliminated it totally, you would save the state $140 million a year. And it's touched off some really hard feelings. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter about feelings anymore. This state is going bankrupt. Remember when, and this happened a long time ago, and I only remember a little bit of it. Of course, now I've read about it more. But remember when New York was so tight? It's like, oh, New York is bankrupt. No money. Mm-mm. And they had to do whatever they could to get money to operate. So with not enough coming in and unemployment at 10%, it's a bad situation there. Probably one of the states besides, I think, Michigan. Because Michigan, with the auto industry stuff and all the layoffs, has been slammed really hard. Not that across the board, the unemployment is so high, and a lot of people are struggling, and a lot of people have suddenly been laid off because their jobs went away. But I think your two worst states would be California. And you might disagree with me. You might see a different thing in your neighborhood. Feel free to call 800-259-5791. But I think in everything that I've researched and people I've talked to, absolutely California, of course. And then Michigan, pretty much a close second to California with all the woes because of, as I said, what happened with the auto industry. And it affected so many other areas, so many other people that were part suppliers, etc. It's been pretty rough. I'd love to see a bounce back at least by the end of the year. Wouldn't that be nice? At the top of the hour, we talked about this with DJ Frost, the international pilot, but it was a shocking thing to see. I guess it was unfolding when I woke up, but a sad story about this pilot who died during a flight from Brussels. Can you imagine? Flight from Brussels to Newark. 32 years the guy had been flying. He was 60 years old. I mean, hey, when your time's up, your number's up, it's up. But he has a heart attack flying the plane. And the co-pilot lands the plane, no problem. As DJ told us, they're all basically essentially qualified to just fly the plane. They could do it. But it has to be a very sad, eerie thing to deal with when you're the second guy. And you're the second guy, you're obviously at the tail end of this flight, probably really ready to get off that plane, and then that happens. Because I left Brussels at about 9:45 in the morning, and then they were close to Newark, I guess they landed at Newark, right before lunchtime. Of course, you have to factor in all the whole time difference thing and all that sort of stuff. But a doctor on the plane pronounced the pilot dead after the crew alerted passengers, I guess, because I was trying to figure this out if they told the passengers. And we didn't know originally, but this is kind of breaking news. They did alert the passengers that there was a medical situation, and they asked if there were any doctors on the flight, and then they didn't tell anyone very much beyond that. And they happened to have a cardiologist that was on board and went to the cockpit, but there was nothing that they could do at that point. And, you know, the pilot died, just died. So they landed the plane, and that's the good thing. But because they were looking for a medical situation, the poll that they took in New York, and what they were talking about in New York, and this is a national show, and a lot of people are listening to us back east, but all of you can relate to the whole flight thing. What they're talking about a lot in New York City on the talk shows is, did the airlines do the right thing by not telling the passengers that the captain had died? They knew there was a medical emergency because they were looking for doctors. So they knew that, but they didn't tell them that the captain had died. Is that fair or foul? I mean, that's a good question to ask. Now, DJ, that was one of the things that he said. Why would you alarm the people on the plane unnecessarily? Because they're not going to know about the experience of the other guys there. So most of the people who have responded to the poll, by the way, said they did do the right thing by not telling the passengers about that. In fact, in a poll of 20,000 New Yorkers, 97% said yes. I'd have to agree with that. Although, if I saw people rushing to the cockpit, then for those 2 hours, I'd be wondering probably what was going on, and that was probably what was happening with most of the people that were on that flight. Hey, you can send me an email, americatonight.net, about anything we talk about on the show, suggestions, or remember, a daily salute. Somebody is a good Samaritan or does something cool that we should know about in your neighborhood. Let me know. Again, americatonight.net.